Because there's going to be too many people on here this morning for a number of reasons. Number one, I am super early on here for being online. Number two, YouTube likes to censor my stuff. I just had one video taken down from YouTube. And the reason it was taken down was because it broke the virus code of ethics. And apparently I said that Bill Gates was involved with depopulation control and all that kind of stuff, and that's against the rules. So they spanked me and set me in the corner. But they just removed the content. They just took the toy out of my hand so I wouldn't be playing with it anymore. Which was rather nice of them. You know, our beloved dictators in Gestapo, our wonderful YouTube handlers. And, so who knows? Anyway, I probably won't have too many on here this morning, but that's okay. I'll get the message out to you one way or the other. Lord willing. So, They caught some video I did, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and they took it off. At least they didn't strike me for it. Our beloved dictators did not strike me for it. Our ruling Marxist handlers are wonderful, benevolent YouTube dictators. They didn't strike me for it. They just took the video down. In the interest of fairness and in the interest of protecting you all out there, because you dummies are not smart enough to research anything yourself. You are a bunch of dummies. So, those highly educated people, those benevolent, all-wise and all-powerful people at YouTube, have to make sure that no misinformation comes to you, except the misinformation that they allow. And the standard objective of truth on YouTube is YouTube and their leaders. Anyway, so as long as you understand that, you'll be fine. And if you ever try to think for yourself, you big dummy, we're going to show you that you can't. So we're going to withhold information from you that we think is critical to you. Critical for you to listen to, because it might harm your little brain. Okay? So that's why they do that. They're looking out for you. That's why it's called YouTube, because they're looking out for you. Anyway. So, I want to talk to you about something, though, and I think I've talked about it maybe a while back, but it seems like, I guess it's making more of an inroad now. It's rising, and I want to talk to you about it a little bit, again, because I think it might help you, to understand where this world is going and how Satan operates. There's an article that came to me this morning as I was leaving the coffee shop. I looked at this article and on Apple News, and it was from The Insider. It's storming out here, so you can hear the rain. That's what that is. But anyway, in reading that article, I just glanced over it, and I noticed a few things that, in this postmodern world that we live in today, this world that rejects Christ, look how loud that's going to be. Can you all hear me over the vast raindrops that are falling down? Hardly a tsunami out here, but it definitely can be a little noisy. Anyway, hopefully you can hear me. I don't want to pull into my garage just because I don't have an opener over here where I'm at. Okay, good deal. Glad you can hear. We need the rain, for sure. All right, well, let's talk about this thing of this single people are ditching love. I would say they don't know what love is, because you wouldn't want to ditch it if you had it. Amen. I've been married to my bride for 19 years, going on 20 years. And you couldn't tear me apart from her. So, I would say that they don't know what love is. Love to them is sexual intercourse. That's love to them. That is a very... The marriage bed is one major part. It's a major part of the marriage. But it isn't the only part. But it is the part that Paul warned about, that if it's not right in your home, if it's not right in your marriage, Satan's going to come to tempt you. And the marriage bed, really what it is it's a lot of it has to do with the heart. If someone is willing to give their heart to their spouse, then their body is not a problem. If their heart is already there, if their heart is already with that spouse, there's never a problem with that, or rarely would there be a problem with that. But that's just part of it. But when animalistic instincts or animalistic characteristics come into play, when that's all people are after, when that's all they know, then all it does is mess up every relationship they have, because they don't know what a proper relationship is. And they don't know what love is. Again, the article says, single people are ditching love and raising kids with platonic friends. I don't have any friends that I want to hang out with more than my wife. Anyway, so they want to ditch the ditch love. I don't think they know what love is. What they're saying is they want to ditch sexual intercourse. Jay Garicio and her best friend, Crystal Purificado, spent much of their 10-year friendship commiserating over romantic relationships gone wrong. During the pandemic, they both realized that previous romances they pursued with men chipped away at their self-esteem and left them feeling jaded about marriage. Jaded about marriage. Basically, so they start out with a man-bashing article, right? They start out man-bashing right away. Gotta bash those men. Couldn't have been a woman's fault for a relationship failing. Had to be the man's fault. Always remember, it takes two to tango. So if there's problems in a marriage, it's both of you. I'm going to say that to you again, to some of you self-righteous people out there. If there's problem in a marriage, it's both of you. It isn't one of you, it's both of you. That's the truth. It's both of you. There may be somebody else that's doing something more wrong, or, you know, they may be doing something more severe or causing more pain or whatever, but it's both of you. And when a mediator comes in to talk about that, like a pastor or somebody that understands marriage, they'll get to the bottom of it real quick, that it's both of you. No relationship ever got fixed. No marriage, you listen to me, no marriage ever got fixed until both people looked in the mirror and said, what am I doing wrong? You look into your spouse and look at the point of finger at her and everything else, or him, or vice versa. That isn't the place to start. That's not a humble person at all, period. That's a proud person that thinks they're always right. And that's probably the reason why you're in the situation you're in. partly. Anyway, that's free marriage advice, free counseling. So when the duo's family friend jokingly referred to them as their moms, Gericio and Perfectio had an epiphany. Crystal and I looked at each other and we were like, yep, that's what we want. That made us feel comfort and gave this picture into what our future could be. Oh, because you're 23 years old and so smart. You know something? I think we'll just be parents. Well, let me stop here and say this. You don't get to redefine what parents are. And you don't get to redefine what marriage is. And you don't get to redefine what it means to be a father and what it means to be a mother. You don't get to redefine that. It doesn't work that way. Not at all. You don't get to tell God what marriage is, and you don't get to tell God what parenting is. And what a father is. Re-imaging parenting. Why don't you get regenerated, and then you won't want to re-image anything. You'll want to live in the image and be in the image of God. You'll want the Lord to transform your life, and you'll want your marriage and everything else to conform to the image of Christ. Who is the author of marriage, by the way? Who's the inventor of marriage? Who gets to tell you what marriage is, not the other way around? Though Gericio and Perfectio, they sound like superheroes. Perfecto. Purifacto. Aren't romantically or sexually interested in each other. They say they're happy as they've ever been in a long-term relationship. You're not in a relationship, and then you don't have to give your hearts to each other. And you can't anyway, because you're both women. So you can't. It's impossible. People are like, don't you want romance? Don't you want sex? And I'm like, no, I don't want those things. I want stability, partnership, teamwork, and communication. And that's all the things I have with Crystal. Okay, so what Perfecto, the super lesbian, is saying, and what, I don't know what the other one was called, I forgot their name. What they're saying is that they don't want anybody to be the head. See, here's a problem in most Christian marriages too today that profess Christ. They don't believe there's a head. And they don't believe there's a tail. They don't believe there's a head and there's a body that follows. They don't believe that. They believe they're equal partners. We're not, my wife and I are not equal partners. We're not. God says that she is the weaker vessel. God says that the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Is Christ's body equal with him? No. We are in subjection to Christ. And I hope I just stomped on your feminism tiki god out there. If you're a Christian woman and you've wrapped your feminism and your Jezebel spirit into some Christianity... Sorry, I just bursted your bubble. You know what? Jezebels hate to be revealed for what they really are. They absolutely hate that. Conniving and going around their husbands and doing all kinds of stuff. They hate that. They hate being caught at that. They don't like that. Anyway, so this woman doesn't, these women, no, well, you're just saying you don't want a man. You're saying you don't want to, all she's saying is, well, I don't want a man to lead me. I just don't want a man to lead me. That's what she's saying. Now another one. That's how 33-year-old Andrew Cunningham felt when he married his childhood best friend Kelly and adopted her daughter Lydia, whom she conceived during a previous marriage. Lydia is now 10. Cunningham and Kelly, who asked us to omit her last name for privacy reasons, jokingly made a high school pact to marry each other if they didn't find romantic partners. 2 years after Kelly divorced, they felt their friendship was solid enough to make a platonic marriage and parenting a reality. Kelly has talked to Lydia about it a few times to gather her views, and she says that she is happier that her mom was going to marry me than any other guy who will hurt her, Cunningham told her. I've been part of Lydia's life since a couple years ago after she was born, and she also loves the fact that I don't have sex to her mom in bed, as she puts it. How would she even, like, think about that or talk about that in the first place? How would they even, how would that, why would that even be a conversation with a 10-year-old? Do you see how many hoops and how much stupidity people have to go around when they try to go around God? When they try to go around God's way? First of all, I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't even matter what my children think about how they're raised in that sense. Now, I listen to my children. I talk to them. I allow them to reason things out. The commands I give, their disobedience, whatever it is, we talk about it. We reason it out. We discuss it. But you don't have children don't lead in the family's decisions. What you see here is a vacuum of leadership. There's no leadership. It's worse than Joe Biden pulling out of Afghanistan. That's how bad it is. It's worse than that. Over the past decade, online platforms like Pollen Tree, Modamily, and Just a Baby have simplified the search for alternative family rearing arrangements. Coupled with the rise of artificial insemination interventions like IVF, these co-parenting services facilitate the ability to start a family on one's own personal and financial terms. See, they think they can do around the role of a father and a mother that love each other. And they make a business deal. And they make a business deal to have a child, kind of like Abraham did with his servant, Hagar with his wife's servant. How'd that turn out? Not good. Real bad. Turned out real bad. We're still paying the price for it today. Not good. Going around God's way doesn't work. Makes things worse. Don't go around God's way. Don't go around God's plan. Don't try to re-image parenting. Doesn't work. It won't work. It can't work. At all, period. Modamily offers three services tiers for hopeful parents, according to Ivan Fadovic, the founder and the CEO of Modamily Concierge Service, where Fadovic personally interviews and matches candidates on a customer's behalf. Is the most expensive service at upwards of $10,000 for four introductions to potential co-parents, surrogates, or egg or sperm donors. So they're literally going around making business deals to have children. They're business deals. This isn't adoption. This isn't it. This is not wanting to be a husband. Not wanting to have the responsibility to love a wife. Because guess what? Marriage takes work. A wife not wanting to love her husband. To love her children. To be the keeper at home. To be the lady that God wants her to be. right? Background checks aren't included in the concierge or subscription. Padovic says he personally cross-checks potential matches' identities using social media and pre-interview for his concierge clients. If a customer wants to run a background check on a match themselves, Modomoli suggests a service they can use on their own. Rachel Hope experienced the peril of online family building with her most recent child, born in July. Previously, Hope birthed and raised two children with separate co-parents with whom she'd formed close relationships, friendships. For her third biological child, Hope told insiders she turned to online platforms designed to help users find co-parent and sperm donors. Hope courted about 30 people from these platforms until 2014 when she met Frank. Hope asked Insider to use the pseudonym for Frank's identity. Hope said she and Frank saw each other's profiles on several services. I was trying to find somebody who would be happy to raise children with me, having another child of their own with me, then adopt my little boy, she said in 2015. Hope and Frank conceived an embryo. Sounds like a business deal. Hope and Frank conceived an embryo. Hope was elated. She said Frank told her he was a doctor and that he had enough money to allow Hope to fulfill her longtime dream of being a stay-at-home mom. Are you catching this? She wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and take care of her child. But she didn't want to marry, find a man, settle down, find a man. Right? And let him take care of her. You know, her heart's desire wasn't wrong. She just wanted to go around God to get it. She wanted to go around God's way to get it. She actually wanted to be a keeper at home. She wanted her husband to take care, a husband to take care of her. But she didn't want to submit and be a wife. She didn't want to submit and be a wife and give her heart to a man. Because ladies, let me tell you something. Your first duty is not to that baby in your hands. Your first duty is to your husband. You are first a wife. Then you are a mother. And don't you ever forget it. You are first a wife. Then you're a mother. If that order ever gets messed up and you don't understand that and you forget that, you'll destroy your marriage. And so will your husband if he gets it in his idea that he's first a father before he is a husband to you. Because if I work on my relationship with my wife, then I'm a better father. If I work on my, if my wife works on her relationship with me, then she's a better mother. And we are both sacrificing and loving our children because we sacrifice in love for each other. Frank talked openly about his history of substance abuse and how he kept himself accountable. It created trust because he didn't appear to be hiding anything. 5 months after using Frank's sperm to become pregnant, Hope said she learned through a private investigator that Frank had drug and alcohol problems and a criminal record that downplayed throughout their budding relationship. Hope said when she brought up what the investigator found, Frank served her legal documents. He alleged Hope wasn't a stable parental figure and he deserved full custody of their unborn child. She said she hired a lawyer and got a restraining order. Despite the hurdles, Hope's still having their baby. I just can't stop feeling like those frozen embryos are little frozen people in there. I can't throw them away. I have to give them a chance at life and put my life in God's hand, Hope said. In an email, Hope said it was a mistake she didn't get an in-depth background check earlier and wished Padovic suggested it. Padovic told Insider his company has always recommended that people get to know each other, take their time, and develop trust before they decide to have a baby and start a family. You mean like court each other and get married, you dingbat? You see how stupid and foolish this is? It goes around God's plan for marriage and God's plan for parenting, and they do whatever they want. It's such the height of stupidity and arrogance. Anyway, starting a family is hard work no matter how you go about it. For Garicio, parenting a foster child with her best friend meant giving a young person the family they deserved. Well, they deserve a father and a mother. Not two women that act like men that are trying to lead a family. No matter how it happens, building a family unit will always be a complex process filled with difficult and joyous moments. Hope said she wishes she had considered more of these complexities before starting her own search. I can actually find the most bizarre form of gratitude that I was deceived because I wouldn't have her otherwise. Garicio, Perfectio, and Eddie now live in a 3-bedroom house with Perfecto's mother. They hope to save enough money to buy a bigger home where they can each have their own bedrooms and build a life and a family on their own terms. I would love to explain to the world that love comes in all shapes and sizes. No, love is determined by God. The definition of that familial love, that family love, the definition of that love is found in the scriptures. You don't get to make it up on your own. You don't get to call something a family when it's not. It's not a family. At all. It's two dykes trying to raise a kid and call, and one try to be a man and the other one try to be a woman. Maybe. God defines the family in Ephesians chapter 6. He defines it for us very specifically. There's the husband. There's the wife. There's the children. Defines the roles of what the husband is told to do, what the wife is told to do, and what the children's responsibility is to do towards their parents, what the parents' responsibility is to each other, what the father and mother, husband and wife's responsibilities are to each other, and what the children's responsibility are to the father and mother, and what the mother and father's responsibility are to the children. All of those things are defined completely there. That's the definition. It's given very plainly, very simply there, of what God expects. Anyway, so this rise of the Platonic family, redefining a family, is just rebellion to God. I wouldn't call it redefining, I would call it rebellion. It's witchcraft. They're trying to portray something in front of you that is not real. It's not real. It's not a family. It isn't real. It's not what God calls a family. All right, everybody. Well, God bless you. I thought I'd come on. I don't know when I'm going to have time to come on again. I've got a lot of studying to do for my sermon tomorrow. I haven't even begun to really study for that. I'm going to have to do that tomorrow morning. I'm going to lock myself in for about 4 or 5 hours and pound out what I'm going to be studying. The nice thing about expository preaching is you kind of know what you're preaching on. You just got to kind of study it out and get the mind of the Lord on it. But I have another lesson that I wanted to bring you sometime, but I'm not going to have time to do it right now. But I do have it. We're celebrating my daughter's birthday today, so I'm pretty busy today. And then tomorrow we have church, and then Thursday I'm taking my family to the state fair. And we usually go on that opening day, so I'll be taking them to the state fair. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday I'll be preaching at the state fair. So, busy times. And then we'll be doing a lot of preaching. And then obviously Sunday's activities that we do, normal worshiping of the Lord on Sunday, and then lots of preaching to people, lots of tracting, and all that good stuff. So, we are going to be busy. You pray for us. Continue to pray for us. Pray for our safety. Pray for our needs to be met. Pray for our finances. Pray the Lord continue to bless and take care of us. If you want to support our ministry, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can click on the give button and you can give to our ministry. We'd appreciate it. Otherwise, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. You can send there. You can mail us something if you'd like. Either way, pray for us. We could use it. We always need your prayers, and we look forward to lots of preaching over the course of the next couple weeks. Anyway, and if you're not saved, you need to get saved by the grace of Almighty God. Go listen to the sermon that I did, The Gospel, which is able to save your soul. And it deals with the salvation of lost sinners and how they can be saved through the power of Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, his death, burial, and his resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ can save you out of any sin. He can deliver you, and he can make you whole by the grace of Almighty God. Turn to Jesus today, and he will save your soul. All right, everybody, God bless you. Take care.